You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week, in my discussion with Māori Party co-leader John Tamahere, we discussed a few local economy issues that had been addressed on the policy page of the Māori Party website. We talked about how the Māori Party would like to see the future government deal with the COVID-19 economic recovery, how high rates of unemployment for Māori should be tackled, and why greater cultural change is necessary to better Māori involvement in the economy. Here is John. COVID-19 has and will continue to have a significant impact on the New Zealand economy. What is the Māori Party's biggest concern when it comes to the COVID-19 economic recovery?
That we're left out as usual and are left embedded structurally at the bottom end of a society upon which our ancestors' assets were pillaged to fund the top end of society.
How is this going to change? Often the discussion is something needs to be changed. We need to make a cultural change. There needs to be a huge uphaul and change of the whole system. But how does that actually happen? How does the Māori Party expect that to come about, or expect if you do come into government and have the opportunity to be in Parliament, how are we going to see that change happen in the next year?
Well, there's four quick points that I'd make on that. The first one is that we are building a Māori political movement that is not centred on flashpoints like foreshore and seabed, ownership of water, Bastion Point, Iho Matau. These are merely blips. The people that are now in organising and administrating a Māori political movement are building a long-term political movement, right? Regardless of the result of this election. My grandfather bequeathed my father and my uncles to the labour movement of Michael Joseph Savage. My father bequeathed his sons to Norman Kirk and the like. I've bequeathed my six children and my grandchildren to this Māori movement, and they ain't shifting and they are growing. And so it's just a matter of time. Rather, it's not about when. It's about when the new wave of Māori activism rises to claim its rightful space in this country. So it's a happening thing as we speak, regardless of results in this election. The second thing that I'd make is Māori being progressive and positive citizens is good for all New Zealanders. And what all non-New Zealanders have to work out is that white men's tools have never fixed brown men's problems. The only things that's ever worked for Māori in this country is kohanga reo, kura kaupapa, whare kura, whānau ora. And you know what they all have in common? They are Māori designed, Māori owned, Māori governed, Māori driven. And we no longer, we've got enough skilled people in this country right now to turn our negative statistics around, but one of the biggest problems we have is, let's look at Oranga Tamariki. It is the most broken agency known in the history of the New Zealand Public Service, but no one has ever held responsible. You know why that is? Well, they're not Māori. If they were Māori, they would have lost jobs. There would have been job losses. So instead of spending $700 million on ripping children out of our families, that money should be spent on repairing that family and making supports around that young mother to be a loving mother and a good mother and bring up a great kid. It runs counter to that because they rip the kids out and they destroy the families, and then we can't rebuild because we've got a government agency run by non-Māori, populated by non-Māori, ripping the kids out. So I'll just use that as one example of a problem we've got. We've got the largest indigenous incarcerated woman population in the world. 60% of our prisons, Māori women. You know what? 8 out of 10 of them are there for crimes of dishonesty. They are not. They don't wake up and go, wow, I'm going to go and be dishonest. They wake up poor. It's a crime of poverty. And that has to be fixed. And so why the Māori Party exists is to be the conscience of the nation, to point that out until we get what the treaty said we should have got, equality of citizenship in Article 3. And the retention of our rights in Article 2. So, and the Crown was just a custodian, not an owner. So we will continue to raise these things till the cows come home. So will my children and my grandchildren. And change will come.
Now let's move on to talk a little bit about unemployment. Unemployment, and I know that I read your website, and there is a little bit of talk about that there. Unemployment is a significant ramification of the pandemic. Already, according to MBIE statistics, the Māori unemployment rate, 10.8%, remains the highest and well above the national unemployment rate of 4.9%. How will the Māori Party work to tackle these unemployment statistics, particularly with the fallout of COVID-19 having perhaps a negative impact on that as well?
Well, let's get back to our embedded structural economic argument, right? When New Zealand catches an economic cold, call it the GFC, call it the Asian recession, whenever New Zealanders catch a cold, Māori get pneumonia. And it's because of where we're embedded in society. First fired, last hired, working poor, low salaries, low wages, and on welfareism, embedded welfareism. And there's nothing, employment is empowerment. And so we want our people to be employed. We want them to know that when they put kai on the table for their families, that their families are as grateful and as good as all other non-Māori families, right? So the way through that, and I've just painted that picture, is a affirmative procurement program, point one. Point two, access to a solid, reliable tenancy, because I can't afford an affordable house on my income, but the state can provide one, and then my baby gets a shot at constancy at school, rather than changing schools six or seven times before they hit secondary school, and then they're streamed into the dummies class. So the Māori Party have got all the solutions. We've just got a lot of non-Māoris in the way thinking that they've got them for us.
Has the current government done enough to tackle unemployment in Aotearoa?
Well, look, in terms of Māori unemployment, even in a rock star economy, we're twice as likely to be unemployed as a white man. And if you're aged between 14 and 24, you're three times more likely to be not in education, not in training, not in skills, and not in employment, right? So to give you, I'll break that number down for an Auckland perspective because of where your station is. In South Auckland, that's 12,000 people aged 14 to 24, right? In West Auckland, these are just Māori numbers. There's Pacific Island as well, and they're totally different. Out west here, we've got 4,000. Now, you tell me where those kids are going to go if they're not in education, training, employment. They've got nowhere to go but be consigned to gangs and be censors and so on and so forth. They've got nowhere else to go, because we haven't developed a program to stop them falling into crime. So then what you do is you fund up the criminal justice system, and it's really the criminal punishment system. Here's another figure I'll give you. 2 years of the correction system, don't worry about the cops and don't worry about the judges and courts, 2 years of our correction system costs more than all treaty settlements paid out to date. If you're sitting back as a Māori watching your people getting brutalised on a system which is set up, it's a setup to populate 100% of hotel beds called jail. Now we have to stop that insanity, surely.
And we stop that through this movement of change that you're talking about.
First. We call it just whānau first, right? Protect whānau first. That's all we want. Protect our whānaus first for a change, rather than everybody else, etc. Because you know there are obligations and duties in our constitution to make this work and to fix it. We don't want our people incarcerated. We don't want our young people out of education, training, or skills or employment. And no one does. No mother or father wakes up and says, "I want my baby to go to the wrong side of town." For goodness sake.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.